Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KVOI. This is Minority Friday on 670 KVOI. We talk to Democrats about the latest news in the Idaho legislature. Now here are Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KVOI.
Top of the morning, KBOI News Time is 8:39. It's a Minority Friday. Representative High Clock is in the House from District 16, House Seat B. Hi, welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Said it's been a great week. Why is that?
Well, I actually got something through the House.
Hey.
And because it is Minority Friday, I can say that is one of the things that keeps me coming back. Is when I see something go through the House. Mm. And this one was, actually there were two. One was a Senate concurrent resolution. I got to get the words right because each one of them means something else. For Gene Harris. This was to recognize Gene Harris's art, his contribution to the community. And I was particularly happy to do this because then from 2002 to 2005, I was the chairman of the Gene Harris Jazz Festival.
Fantastic.
And it was great to be able to do that. And the other little thing, I had a resolution, a House concurrent resolution, recognizing legal immigrants and the contributions that they've made to Idaho and the country. And that passed the House unanimously, and it's on its way to the Senate.
So they were willing to recognize legal immigrants, at least.
Correct.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that I learned in talking to some of the immigrants that are here legally. They seem to feel that they're being lumped together with the undocumented workers, and they kind of resent it, you know, having gone through the years that it took them to get here. They want people to understand that they're here legally. They want to become a citizen of the United States, and they love this country. They love the fact that they actually can find freedom here.
What were some of the biggest contributions that were mentioned?
Well, when we think about all of the immigrants, and this resolution recognizes all the immigrants, we talked about immigrants that came here in the 1800s that settled Idaho. And that developed Idaho. Before it even became a state, there were immigrants in Idaho making sure that we could become a state. Some of the other, they weren't big contributions, but some of the small contributions, we had three people testify at the hearing. And one is Kabroom, who owns a restaurant on State Street. Mm-hmm. And he's from, I think, Eritrea.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought Ethiopian food and open a restaurant, and it's doing great. So those little success stories are the things that, you know, you always want to hear about. You want to hear about people that come here and actually make it.
Yesterday in the House Ways and Means Committee, a couple of Democratic representatives from small towns, Sally Toon from Gooding, Paulette Jordan from Plummer, introduced legislation to encourage qualified teachers to work in rural school districts through a student loan forgiveness program. How do you feel about this?
Oh, I think it's a good move. I think it's great for people who have gone through and got their teaching certificate and want to get a job, but they're loaded down with debt. And so they think about, do I go into teaching or do I go into something else to pay off the debt? If we can come up with a program that helps teachers forgive some of their debt while they're teaching in a rural community, which is the hardest to recruit for, I think that's a great thing.
The stats are staggering. 75% of all school districts are rural. 37% of those districts started the school year with unfilled classroom positions.
Yeah. No, it's a topic that we talk about a lot on the Education Committee, as far as getting rural schools really up and running. Back to when there were, you know, in some of the rural areas like Kellogg and some of the areas up north that were known for their mining activities, the mines aren't there anymore. And so a lot of people have left, and the schools are still an important part. Public schools are what really, I think, are the backbone of this country. Everyone should get an opportunity to get an education. And so the rural incentives, there's another rural incentive that Superintendent Ybarra brought forward, and it passed in the committee and in the floor, starting a rural resource center or district to help little schools that need certain, say for instance, you want a school psychologist, but you only need a school psychologist for a day.
Right.
Rather than hire one full time, this resource center would make available a school psychologist for the day. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty good idea. There's also something going through the legislature to fund buildings for higher education. And, well, first of all, tell us about that.
Well, that's part of the governor's plan to allow some of the universities to build new buildings. There's a couple going up at BSU, one that I know of, sure, I think Micron was one of the public or the private partners in that. And it was for, help me on this, Paul, I can't remember the name of the building.
Yeah,
that's all right. We're all in the same boat.
Right, exactly. Yeah, but they...
But it's important.
Boise State has been very good at getting private people to help build buildings on campus. They've done a very good job. We need to take a break. KBOI News Time, 845.
You're listening to Minority Friday on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time is 850. Our special guest in studio is Representative High Clock from District 16. Sorry about that.
Thank you.
We've got a multi-use stadium being planned right now.
Correct.
And some of that is going through the legislature right now. What's being said?
Well, I'm more familiar with it because of my role at the Greater Boise Auditorium District.
Okay.
I haven't seen anything in the legislature yet, but there is... It is becoming a hot topic for Boise and its growth.
Mm-hmm.
I personally believe that a multi-use stadium would be an asset for Boise. This would give us an opportunity to have baseball games, soccer, concerts, and it would be in an area, a part of town, that is ripe for development. So everything that could be built around it, it would be anchored by the multi-use stadium.
It was announced this week that surplus general funds would continue to be funneled to transportation projects in Idaho for another 5 years under a newly introduced plan. No secret, the roads in Idaho suck in some places. The infrastructure's not good. We got bridges going out. We got miles and miles of roads and not many people to pay for them. Is this a good deal?
No.
Not a good deal.
I think the transportation issue will be the going home issue for the legislature.
I think you're
in
right.
In other words, once we come up with a compromise and a bill to address a lot of that issue, we'll call it a session. Until then, right now... We're hoping, or at least that's the rumor around the legislatures, that we'd be out of there by the 24th.
Right.
I am not ready to bet the house on that.
How are you going to pay for it? Fuel taxes? Registration?
Well, it has to be a combination of all of them. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I personally hope doesn't happen, because this was a possibility a couple of weeks ago, was that we would take the money from state police and funnel it over to transportation to the tune of $17 million. I personally would like to see that $17 million stay where it is, and I believe it will stay there. Yeah. And then we'll come up with another way to be able to fund the transportation issue, because that is very important.
$262 million, a big number.
Yeah, it's huge.
A smaller number, but still a big number. The state reached a $3.5 million settlement with the Idaho Education Network. How do you feel about that?
My feeling changed, actually, after we had a presentation earlier this week from a network that we have in the state that is called IRON, and I can't remember what the acronym stands for, but it has to do with the backbone of a delivery system. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be connected right now to higher education, some private organizations, and the IHL. I asked the question, why isn't this being used for all of our high schools, all of our elementary schools, all of our public schools? If we have a system in place that is this good, why did we go with this other system to begin with? I didn't get an answer that I really liked. I mean, there's a lot of, we had to do it because of this or that, and the fact that we're paying out money over a suit that should never have happened to begin with, I find that a little ironic.
You and I already discussed this briefly during the commercial, but nothing brand new this year about pre-K, except there was a presentation, and there's a little hope at the end of it.
It was great. We had a presentation. This was probably in February 20th, February 22nd, something like that, before the Education Committee. We had 18 speakers, and everybody followed the script. They only spoke for 2 or 3 minutes. Sometimes when you have to get the hook out, you know, you have to be careful of who's talking. But we had business community represented. We had the educational community represented, a number of nonprofits, another children organizations. And the person who wrapped up the session was Lieutenant Governor Little. And he was an advocate for pre-K and early childhood education, which made me very happy. Another reason it was a good week, Paul.
But you're thinking maybe that a bill might come forth next year.
Next year. We have a couple of bills in the hopper. We just weren't able to get anything out into the committee structure at this point. So we are going to try again next year. Just got to keep trying. As Governor Andrews told me, this is not a sprint. This is a marathon.
Yeah, and we're kind of hoping the session doesn't turn into a marathon.
We all are.
Yeah, because it would. Back in the old days, when half of the legislature were farmers, the weather forecast for this week in the 60s, they'd be wrapping stuff up and going home and getting ready to plow.
Right.
Yeah. Not so much anymore.
No. But they do want to get out of here by the 24th, and I'll do everything I can to help them.
24th be 2 weeks from today.
2 weeks from today.
All right, Senator.
That means
Representative
High Clock.
If you want to promote me, that's fine.
I'll promote Representative High Clock from District 16 has been our guest. Hi, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
It's 8:56, Idaho Talks Live, Open Phones Friday edition, coming up after a news break at the top of the hour.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, it's 9:06. Mayor Dave Beter joins us for the next half hour.
Good morning.
Morning. The big story, the Boise River, near flood stage, et cetera. And we were just talking off of the air a few minutes ago about all of the water they've released so early. And, you know, I was going, you know, a couple of days ago, I thought, wow, why are they releasing so much so early? But now it's going to be 70 degrees down here this week. There's going to be a lot of runoff. And you have plans for maybe not the Boise River so much, but Cottonwood Creek and the streams coming down from the Boise front.
We do. A number of years ago, the city, I think with some grants from the feds, built a whole series of containment ponds where people do archery or walk their dogs over right there. Those big embankments are meant to hold water, you know, in a higher water year, and then eventually to, if it overflows that to the softball fields, and if it overflows that down to Broadway to catch in those, you know, bigger drainage.
They're right there by the University of Idaho.
Over there by the University of Idaho to try to, so a series of things to try to help that. It's worked well in the past, but I don't know that we've had, at least in the time I've been in office, we haven't had snow like this. So we're going to see. We pay close attention. Our public works guys are paying close attention to that and watching it. You know, they're obviously releasing to try to get ahead of it. It all depends on, first, how much there is, but how quickly it it melts and how that goes. So, you know, so far, so good. But we'll watch it close and do all we can to stay tuned with the public.
With the snow this year, there were a lot of issues about who is supposed to be cleaning up the roads or who's supposed to be cleaning up the sidewalks. What's going on right now?
Well, it's taken a real odd turn, I would say. ACHD put a bill into the legislature that would remove snow removal from the definition of maintenance of public rights of way, so there'd be no duty to remove snow at all. It's not just sidewalks, which would be at least more understandable, but it says all public rights of way.
And that includes roads?
Well, a public road is a public right of way, and so, their attorney's name was on the legislation when it began. It was eventually replaced by a legislator from Eastern Idaho, and then they said it's not our bill, but you don't get your name on a bill without being a sponsor. You know, you don't just wake up one day and my name's on a piece of legislation.
Well, so we did talk to Craig Quintana the other day from the ACHD, and he told us that the first part had been a mistake, essentially.
Well, we know the lobbyists were working it ahead of its introduction. It's awful late to be taking on something like this, but that's what it does. It removes the obligation to remove snow at all.
Comes to shove, though.
You know,
wouldn't you like to see that happen?
If our name were replaced there, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
But
I guess
it doesn't do that.
It
doesn't do that at all. It just says, I mean, you know, it'd be like if we had a poor response from our police and go to the legislature. We have no duty to respond at all to a call for help. I mean, it is the most puzzling, oddest thing we've seen, but we don't believe it's good legislation. I mean, I've talked to at least two commissioners didn't even know about it. Commissioners have said, we're not going to push this, but the bill is up in committee this morning.
Yeah, the right-of-way thing was lost on both of us.
Well,
thought it referred to sidewalks.
Yeah. It's been in the media some. That's kind of where it's framed, but it says public rights-of-way, and that's streets. And, you know, we'd like to see it die. We could talk about, we certainly understand the sidewalk piece. We can talk about that in the interim. But we'd also like to talk about other ways of governing this.
What's our worst case scenario if it does happen?
Well, then there's no duty at all.
Yeah, nobody.
right now it says snow removal and it says in a passable state. That's the duty of a highway district, which is what you'd expect. This would take that away at all. So,
good luck getting to work this morning.
Well, you know, it's really odd, and the way it's come about is even stranger. And you know, they're backed away from it. One of the original legislator sponsors is pulling away, so maybe we can get it to die and then move on and start a more productive discussion. So, all right.
There's been a lot of conversation about composting, and tell us a little bit about that. A lot of people say, well, if I don't want to do it, why do I have to pay for it?
Well, the theory that we've been working on, and it's worked fairly well. If you don't want to recycle, for instance, so you're going to pay a little more. If you do, you're going to pay a little less. It's less, eventually for all of us, it's less burdensome on the landfill. It's less, environmentally, it's better to do it that way. So that's the theory we're based on. It's worked pretty well. It's been amazing how much more recycling we've gotten, first by implementing it and then the non-sort piece. But green waste is the other piece of this, a big chunk, especially in summer months, of you know, that gets its way to the landfill. And it's been a pretty constant request of the city that we do this. So if you do compost and you can show us that, then Godspeed you. You won't have to pay. But if you're not going to, again, it's that extra burden working its way to the landfill, and so you're going to pay a little bit more. It's not much more, but it's a little bit more.
I assume there would be some sort of an education program if it were implemented to tell people what is and what is not compost.
Right, and I don't have those dates in front of me, but we're reaching out now, and it'll be rolled out, you know, in the same way those other programs were. You know, nothing's ever 100%, but by and large, it's been well accepted. The composters, of which I am not one, God love them, are very tuned to it. But it's going pretty well. If you want to do it, you can do that and not have to pay the extra fee. And
now the compost. Say you and I don't compost.
Yeah.
So we put our lawn clippings, et cetera, in the compost can, if you will. Now, did I hear right that we could get compost back?
We can. It's going to go to the city farm. We have a farm for biosolids, shall we say, and it'll be processed there. Some of it put there, some of it given, some of it sold. There'll be a process to do that, but you can. There'll be arrangements to get some of it back in. At either low cost or no cost. We're working on that piece of it and all the specifics, but I think it's well conceived. It works from the front to the end. We're not too many cities with the kind of farm that we have, but we're well positioned to handle this kind of program.
We're talking with Boise Mayor Dave Beter. It's 9:15.
Would you like to stop depending on your reading glasses? Eye Associates has the solution, the camera procedure. Patients who have had...
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time is 9:20. It's Idaho Talks Live. Our special guest in studio is Mayor Dave Beter in the next title studio, as a matter of fact. Let's talk about something fun here for just a second. Tree Fort's coming up.
Tree Fort's coming up March 22nd through the 26th. And they've just done an incredible job. We've made them our cultural ambassadors. They've done so well. They keep adding different forts. I think there's Strength Fort this year, but there's Food Fort, Yoga Fort, Kid Fort, Ale Fort. Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting for Bourbon Fort, but I'm hopeful that'll happen someday.
Bourbon Fort would be good.
This year they have Hack Fort as the computer piece of it, and Nate Silver from 538, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but a great political analyst and commentator with a lot of data-driven analytics is going to be in town, which is really exciting. Mm-hmm. So it's they've just done an incredible job from the very first day. They were well organized. They've added things when they're ready. The crowds have been wonderful. So come on out. I think you'll have a great time.
A lot of music again this year?
Music is still the main piece of it. And I can't cite you the groups that are coming, but there's always great talent.
Yep.
In fact, it's designed, the timing is to try to get bands coming back from South by Southwest, I think it is, in Austin, and it always draws real well. In fact, they have a pretty rigorous process to qualify to play. So it's a high level of music and everything else.
KBOI rewards code is COMPOST, COMPOST, COMPOST. When you first came in about an air show that's coming up in Boise, which you don't get to see the T-Birds and all of that much anymore. The Thunderbirds used to be fairly common. Now it's pretty rarity. It's a rarity to see them.
Yeah, this is a big deal. The Thunderbirds and the best Canadian flying team. I'm not sure what their name is. Snowbirds.
I think they're called the Snowbirds.
But to have both of them in one show is even more rare. And it's been announced it'll be in October 14th and 15th, I think it is, out at Gowan Field, and it's exceptional. They're expecting something like 150,000 people.
Oh, yeah.
So stay tuned. It's, again, it's a rare opportunity. I think it's been around 20 years since they had one out there. But to have this kind of expertise and this level of show is really going to be something. We're excited.
Well, technically, I just looked it up. Technically, they are the Canadian Forces 431 Air Demonstration Squadron, but their nickname is the Snowbirds.
There you go.
So I think I'm going to call them that.
Let's go with Snowbirds.
Yeah. We've got a new fire training center.
We do. We're going to break. Well, we will shortly. We're going to break ground in early April. This is the result of the support we have on the bond vote a couple of years ago. You know, our firefighters do an incredible job. We want to always make sure that they have the highest level of training. Our current training center over along the river, as you drive the connector, you can see the tower there. It's just not. It's not up to par. It wouldn't. Continue to be helpful. So it's a really exciting time. And that passage of that bond has allowed us to get to some other great projects, the Bound Crossing Library being the main one. We'll be dedicating that in May. So really good time, and people should be real proud. You stepped forward and gave your firefighters, who are awfully important to our safety, the best tools they need.
Speaking of bond votes, we're 4 days away from one.
We are. School district bond vote. I'm very supportive. The council passed a resolution supporting it. It's awfully important. You know, the neighborhood school, especially an elementary school, is one of the core pieces of every neighborhood. And to have this opportunity to make sure that all neighborhoods keep up, you know, they've really done a good job of looking all across the district and making sure that that every school has what they need. In some cases, that's a rebuild. I think it's Amity, which was cutting edge at the time to build underground. Yeah. Did work out well once it rained and some other things. You know, so some of them are rebuilt. Some of them, they have these cafe gymatorium where all those things have to happen in the same place, sometimes at the same time. This will help. It's a great opportunity, and I encourage people to support it.
You're talking about Bound Crossing across the river from there by the fire station on the other side of the river. I guess Albertsons and a bunch of other people looking to build in there and put some infrastructure in there.
We're really excited. Albertsons has been a great citizen forever, but they've also come back to their headquarters being here in Boise. And are adding some great jobs, you know, bit by bit. It's really a great story. And Bob Miller, their CEO, basically put Albertsons back together the way it used to be. They bought Safeway. It's really an incredible piece of news and great news for us, and they're doing good things across the country, but here in Boise as well.
All right. Mayor, thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
Always good to see you. We'll see you in a month.
Likewise. We'll see you then.
Mayor Dave Beter, it's 9:20.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
All right. We are back. Shortened edition this morning of Open Phones Friday. Let's get right to it. Bill of Boise. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, you two. How's you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. I got to need a clarification on this compost thing that the city's putting in.
Sure.
Am I under the assumption that if you don't do composting, which I don't because I have a lawnmower guy that takes care of my grass, I still will be charged for the compost fee?
I think that's correct.
That's not fair.
Well, a lot of people don't think so. Also, now, do you do the recycle?
No, I don't.
You get charged for that, though, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, it's just like the recycle, which a lot of people didn't like that, and a lot of people aren't going to like the compost either because, use it or not, you got to pay for it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what I was afraid of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, gentlemen.
You bet. Thanks, Bill. Let's go to David of Boise. David, good morning.
Well, good morning. You clarified part of the mayor's composting there.
Yeah.
Whenever he speaks, he is composting. So,
be nice.
Hey, he's pretty entertaining, you got to admit, even though he's really trying to make us pay for something we don't use. You know, when I mow my lawn, I just mulch it back into the lawn, the leaves the same way. The garden stuff gets mulched back into the garden. But somehow, unless I can prove that to these bureaucrats,
I don't know how much proof that's going to take.
Well, I would imagine this is definitely a North Ender thing, you know, because a lot of those people do, but the rest of the valley doesn't. And then on that fee that they're going to charge you, even if you don't, we're going to be paying for gasoline for the extra truck to go all the way out to Star, where their compost facility's at.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really a fair deal. It reminds me of this Obamacare thing, where you're forced into something that you don't really want nor need.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept, but like I say, it's one that's been used before because they did it on the recycle as well.
Well, it's getting more expensive. If you know, I mean, I'll be glad to pay all these fees as long as they kick in that same percentage for my retirement, because sooner or later, my retirement's going away, and yours, if you ever do retire, is going to happen to you too.
That'll probably happen one of these days.
Well, we hope you stay there for a little bit longer, for sure.
All right, thanks, David.
Bye.
Bye.
Gary of Emmett writes in to say, I have a friend who works for the state of Idaho who told me the dams in Idaho were poorly rated. Not that they would fall or fail, that is, but that they easily could. With this spring having a potentially strong runoff as the heavy snowpack melts, what is the assessment of our dams?
I thought he had the assessment.
Well, yeah, I would guess that would make it even worse.
Well, I would hope they would hold. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, yeah.
Let's go to Buck of Meridian. Buck.
Paul J., I just wanted to encourage everyone to get out and vote for the schools and vote against them until they change the date of those elections and save the cost of an extra election. That's all I have to say.
All right. Thanks, Buck. We got a thing from the legislature that said every other year they're going to try to have them on the same day as the general election.
Right. The first proposal that I saw said that instead of just having them spread out all over the place, that they would get it down to at least 2 days a year rather than one. But I don't know whether that would be a lot less expensive or not to just have it on one day, but it seems like it should be.
Senator Janie Ward Engelking proposed an amendment to Senate Bill 1103. The bill would move school bond elections to the general election ballot.
There we go.
In even-numbered years. Senator Ward Engelking's amendment proposed moving the election to odd years, sharing the ballot with nonpartisan races. The amendment failed. So apparently they're going to move to even years that would be every other year. It's all very confusing.
Oh, yeah. It would be undoubtedly the same elections as when we elect, you know, new senators and representatives. So,
yeah,
just, you know, in November.
Yep. Let's go to Roy. Roy, good morning. Whoops. Hang on.
I listened to the mayor talk about the compost stuff, and I got yesterday in the mail the information from the city with my bill about composting and describing how it is going to be charged, and he should have had that in his hand, because what they're doing is they're changing the price of the extra bin that you have, changing it from like $1.10 to $5. But if you do a compost, then it's $3.50. So that's where people are getting a little bit confused. So they get an extra cart for compost. You can keep your same carts for the garbage, but they're just looking for people to hopefully put money into a $3.50 bin for composting instead of a $5 bin for garbage.
So, okay, now let me ask you a question. So you'll have garbage, recycle, composting. I'll have three, right?
Correct. And what's not clear from this is if they're taking away one of the garbage, they're hoping that instead of most people having two garbage cans and that second one's costing $1.10 a month, that they'll change that out and put in a composting one for $3.50 a month, which is a net add of $2.50 or something like that. But if you want to keep your second garbage can, that's now going to be $5. So you'll save money, by getting the composting bin. It's a typical government speak, I think.
Oh, okay. Now, see, you're confusing me. What about the recycle? What if you have a garbage, you recycle, and are you counting the recycle as a garbage can?
No, that one I'm ignoring because that's not on this thing. That won't change. So basically, they're trying to get, instead of two garbage cans, one garbage and one compost, because their compost is 45% of what people are throwing away.
Yeah.
And so it's coming in your mail with your bill. It'll explain it, and they want you to make the selection between March 1st and 31st. And he should have had that in front of him. But it does also allude to that you will be able to pick up compost after, you know, if you're in the program, you'll be able to get compost.
You'll have to go get it. And,
yeah, it sounds like you'll have to go get it. So, yeah, he really should have had his homework right in front of him. It is in the mail. And so sounds like it's a good thing. But, yeah, it's another forced thing where they're going to increase the prices a little bit, and they're trying to justify it in the way of, oh, it could cost you more to keep what you're doing, or you can spend a little less and make the change with us.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for bringing us up to speed.
All right. You're
good welcome. Stuff. Thanks, Roy.
Well, time for a break. It's 9:45. We'll be back with more on Open Phones Friday.
All right, thanks, Rick. KBOI News Time, 9:49, Open Phones Friday. Connie in Meridian. Connie, good morning.
Good morning. I just thought I'd give you some interesting information I found out about my trash.
Okay.
It's connected with the water and the sewer to the city of Meridian, so you get those bills tied in together.
Yep.
And I asked him, I says, can I opt out of trash pickup, because I can take my trash right down the street to the drop-off station.
Uh-huh.
And they said the only way I could opt out of trash service is if they turn my water off.
Seriously?
Really? So that's how they got me involved in their system. So, yeah, I'm interested in watching what Boise does with this recycle, because I know it's going to come to Meridian.
Yeah.
In time, it will. So I'm kind of really interested in that. But
yeah,
that's how they kind of gotcha.
All right, good stuff. Now, that's in Meridian, right?
That's in Meridian, uh-huh.
All right, thanks, Connie.
Sure.
Wow.
Now,
water is separate. Here in Boise, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
What else in your Boise bill? Trash?
Sewer.
Sewer. So
recycling.
It's like $100, right? Somewhere in there. And it's something like that every month or every 2 months or whatever.
I think it's every couple of months.
Yeah. So, getting expensive.
Let's see, I got an instant message here from the disgruntled vet. How long until Boise makes it illegal to have too many refuse cans on the street, or fine you because you have no place to store them? I was thinking about that when the mayor was talking about the third one, because I keep them at the corner of the porch, and that's about all the room there is at the corner of the porch.
I put mine in my garage on the side that I park, and I'm going to have to do some serious relocating of stuff in my garage to get another can in there.
Mari wrote in to say, everyone should consider this. We are the only modern advanced nation without national health care and college education. People with jobs and good health pay for people without, or people with jobs and good health pay for people without, just like people with no accidents pay for people who have accidents, so insurance. People with no cars pay for roads. People with no children pay for education. That's how it works. Sheesh, everyone is so greedy. It's when the village thrives that we all thrive.
Kind of agree with all that. Let's go to Chris. Chris, good morning.
Hi, Paul J.
Hi there.
Well, I have an idea for recycling, and not just the leaves and stuff, but in general. You know, they complain about the, they said it is a patch in the ocean the size of Texas of plastics and all sorts of garbage, but mainly floating plastic.
Have you seen video of that? It goes for hundreds of miles. It's amazing.
But here, here's how you solve that, and it's so simple, and it's sort of a Republican approach to environment and cleanliness. The Democrats think that you got to do that because it makes you feel good and because it's all the right thing to do, and that's it. But, you know, we're only humans. My approach is any plastic manufacturer, you got to add $2 per pound for each, whatever it is that you manufacture, then, and this money gets collected at sales. And then whatever it is, it's plastic that it breaks, you take that plastic per pound at the recycling center, and you get the $2 back. You get paid no matter where you collect it and what happened. So then plastic becomes aluminum and copper. You know, you don't see any aluminum playing around. People will be scavenging through to get stuff. Same thing with tires. Why can't you, instead of $100, you pay $105 per tire, $3 go to disposal of the tire, and $2 go to the person who brought it? And then people, you know, you go look at the farms and the side of the roads and some beautiful places where you could possibly camp. There's a truckload dumped of tires. Yeah. There's storages. There's tires everywhere. Farms are full of it. No one wants to go take it. And, you know, and that's sad, but if without incentive, we're not going to accomplish anything. You have to put that incentive. So you have to collect the money beforehand rather than scratching your head and try to do something afterhand. You know, people's just going to roll it and throw it somewhere and call it good.
You know, I think you're on to something. Thanks, Chris. You know, he actually might be.
Yeah.
Because you don't see aluminum laying around.
That is a good point.
Used to. But you don't anymore.
Curtis of Boise made the same joke that I did this morning. He says, for a minute there, I thought Idaho had come to its senses when I heard pot at the end of the rainbow. No, it's a pot at the end of the rainbow. So, but yeah, that's the way it was worded.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, there's pot at the end of the rainbow.
Yep. Yep.
And Bud of Ada County says, so another fee, another $7, another $10, another 1.25% of $100,000 home value. And so the list goes on. Organic matter decomposes well in small amounts because of its easy access to air. And didn't we pay for the landfill to claim methane gas? In a landfill, stuff is packed and piled. Organic matter decomposes without air anaerobically and produces methane, which is 40 times more potent than CO2 for its greenhouse effect.
Okay.
So we're working on that.
KBOI News Time, 9:56. We'll see you Monday right here on News Talk 670. KBOI.